Lord, we praise your name, Lord. Lord, we glorify your name. Be thou exalted, Lord. And be thou glorified. Hallelujah. The Lord in the midst of thee is mighty. He will joy over you with joy and with singing. I saw also the Lord rejoicing, even as the people rejoiced and praised the Lord. The Lord is good. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, praise team. Awesome, awesome job here this morning. Praise the Lord. You may all be seated. Praise God. Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. You know, we've been gone for many, many weeks. Traveled to Nigeria and all that. We thank God that we're back. Praise the Lord. Today, I want to share a short exhortation with you. Hopefully, we trust that it will bless your heart. You may be seated while I pray. I'm just going to pray before I deliver the message. Father, I thank you again for all your children that are here. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be this morning. In Jesus' name. The Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. So I want to talk about doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. And he that doeth, there are many benefits. One especially is he that doeth the will of the Lord abideth forever. You know, there's a few things in the Bible that we are told abideth forever. Let's look at a few of them. First one here, you know, of course we know the Lord himself is, you know, eternal, is forever, you know. He's the one that was, that is, and is to come. We know that. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. 1 Peter 1, 25. The word of the Lord endureth forever. So that's one thing that we know abides forever. You know, the word of the Lord, I mean, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. So we know, you know, God is in his word and the very essence of God is his word. But we know that he abides forever. There's another thing that we are told, you know, that abides forever. Let's look at 1 John. I want to look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. You see, another thing that abideth forever. The world passeth away, we're told, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So that's another thing that abides forever. We know the word of the Lord abides forever. But we also know that he that does the will of the Lord abides forever. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, doing the will of the Lord then. You know, what does it mean to do the will of the Lord so that we may abide forever? You know, I think we all want to abide forever. You know, before we get into that, here's something else about, you know, abiding together, you know. I mean, forever. Abiding means, you know, it's the same. It's in the same state, you know, it's, or even flourishing. I mean, it's not diminishing, that's for sure, you know. And many scriptures talk about the benefits of, you know, walking with God, of walking in the light, walking a life of righteousness, staying planted in the word of God, in the house of the Lord. You know, there are many scriptures that talk about that. So today we want to look at briefly about, you know, doing the will of God and what the benefits of that, you know, might be for us. And especially now, we see a lot of things going on in the world. Here in the United States, it's been over a month that we've had this government shutdowns affecting a lot of people. A lot of people now, you know. But let me read a promise to you from the scriptures. In the book of Psalm 92, from verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Amen. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit even in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Why? To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. So there are some benefits for being in the Lord. There are some benefits for being planted in the house of the Lord. There are some benefits for doing the will of God, you know, flourishing and abiding forever, for instance. But let me talk a little bit about doing the will of God. What is doing the will of God? I mean, doing the will of God is not exactly just simply saying, yes, Lord. I mean, Jesus talked about that, you know. He talked about it. There is a lesson that Jesus gave in Matthew 21. And he said, well, you know, let me read it to you to quote what Jesus gave. There is a parable, Matthew 21, from verses 28 to 32. In Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32, Jesus said, but what think ye? Such a man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go today and walk in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. Okay? So, because he said, I will not, the father turned to the second one and said, go to my vineyard today and do some work. And that second one said, yes, sir. I go right away. Now, the one that said, yes, sir, I go right away, actually did not go. He didn't do it. And the one that said, I'm not going, he repented later and actually did it. So Jesus now asks the people, he says, which of these two sons did his father's will? The one that said, I'm not going, and later repented and did it? Or the one that said, yes, right away, sir, but didn't do it? You know, if people were listening at the time that the first one was instructed to go into the vineyard and they, you know, actually heard his response, the man said, I'm not going. The young man said, I'm not going. I mean, it was like a blatant, flat-out no to the father. And if that's all you heard, and you didn't hear the end of the story, or even know when he later repented and actually did the father's will, you would have said, well, you know, that one has no chance to get in the good graces of the father. And if you had looked at the one that said, yes, sir, right away, and that's all you heard, but you didn't see the end of the story, you would say, yeah, you know, that one is the one that's going to get a blessing from the father. But that's not always the case. You know, saying yes, Lord, is not enough if we don't actually do the will of the father. And that's what I want to talk about today. And Jesus, he talked about in Matthew 7, 21 and 22, he said, there are many people say it's not enough but to just say, Lord, Lord, or yes, Lord, and so forth, you know. That's not enough. You know, he said, look, Not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, or I will say not everyone that say, yes, Lord, you know, shall enter in the kingdom of God. Because that young man said, yes, I'm going. But he didn't go, you know. So, and he said, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, here is a qualification to get to heaven, which most of us don't think about. When we talk about, you know, getting into the kingdom of heaven, we mostly talk about give your life to Christ, get into the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus qualifies that a little bit here. He said, it's not just everybody. He says, Lord, you say, you know, say, wow. You accept Jesus as your personal Lord, and so they say yes. So they call him Lord. But he said, it's not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord. I will enter into the kingdom. As a matter of fact, he said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in thy name, did we not cast out many devils and so forth and done many wonderful works? Well, they did, you know. And Jesus didn't say they didn't. But he said, I will profess unto them that I never knew you. Apart from it, there are many reasons why Jesus could have denied them. He said, well, ye that walk iniquity. There was a question that was asked of Jesus. So what will I do the works of God? Jesus said, well, believe on him that he has sent. You know, so believing on the Lord is foundational. We must believe on him whom the Father has sent. That's foundational. You don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Sorry. You don't have a chance. According to John chapter 3, verse 18, we're told that those that believe on him, they are not condemned. But those that do not believe, they are condemned already. Because they did not believe on the name of the only Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom God sent to this world. You know, but if we have believed or we profess to have believed, well, one time John the Baptist was saying, you know, it's not enough for you to call yourself children of Abraham. So don't you begin to say to yourself, we are children of Abraham. We are this and we are that. He said, if you don't bring forth fruits of righteousness, well, you call yourself children of God. He said, God is able of these stones to raise up children to himself. Yeah, so the title or the lip service alone is not enough. We must actually do the will of the Lord. In the book of Isaiah chapter 29, you know, we see something in verses 13 especially that the Lord called out. He said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips, they do honor me, like saying, yes, Lord, call me Lord, and so forth. Yeah. Honor me with their lips. I mean, you would think that that's good enough. You know, you say it with your mouth. You believe in your heart. And you say it with your mouth. You know, you would think that honoring the Lord with your lips would be sufficient. The Lord said, well, I look beyond the lips. I look at the heart. Because they have removed their heart far from me, you know, and their fear is taught by the precept of men. Instead of following the word of God, which we know abides forever, you know, they have gone into many different things. Yet they say, Lord, and they say, yes, Lord. But they said, you know, that's not sufficient. Except the person that's doing the will of Jesus. I mean, the will of my Father. Jesus himself was consumed about doing the will of his Father. There was a story in the book of John chapter 4. We see the story of the woman at the well. Many of you know that story. Jesus' disciple had gone to town to go get some food. It appeared as if Jesus was hungry. By the time they came back, he didn't look hungry anymore. He had ministered to the woman. They said, well, we thought he was hungry when we left. Did anybody bring him food? And Jesus said, well, I have meat that you know not of. So let's read John chapter 4 and what he says in the last few verses there, talking about, you know, what he is consumed about. You know, this was his mission. He was consumed about doing the will of God. You know, he said, I'm going to read John chapter 4, you know, verse 34. Jesus says that, where am I at? Okay. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So Jesus was about doing, just, you know, at the end of that whole story, towards the end of that whole story about the woman and so forth. Jesus said, look, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus himself was about doing the will of the Father. And what about us? I mean, is it by lip service only, or is it by actually doing it? Now, there is a general will of God. In other words, a global, an eternal will of God for everybody. And that is that it is not his will that any should perish, but it is rather his will that all should come to repentance, that they might be saved through Christ Jesus. Well, that's God's global will. You know, but on top of that, in addition to that, God may have specific will of God for each of us in our lives. Are we taking time to understand the will of God for our lives? Or are we just doing whatever we want? You know, sometimes we actually do things that we want and present them to God to ask the Lord to bless, rather than finding out what his real will for our lives is. There are many things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. You put that out for us. You know, we need to understand the will of the Lord. It says, be ye therefore not unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord. What is the will of the Lord? I mean, in other words, what is it that God wants? Will is, you know, what he wants. I mean, one man asked Jesus, if thou will, thou canst make me whole. And Jesus said, yeah, I will. Be thou whole. So, you know, what is it that he wants? What's in his mind? And it's like, what is in his mind? Well, this scripture says, don't be unwise, but you understand, you must need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, if we don't understand what the will of the Lord is, it means that we will be unwise. You know, now, there are other benefits, you know, which is all part of still abiding forever, but there are benefits of knowing and doing the will of God. Let me explain it to you this way. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, and verse 22, we are given this understanding. When we are asking things of God, it says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So, here, we see two things. We see the keeping of God's commandments. And then we see the doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, keeping of God's commandments is what I call active obedience. God has said something, we're doing it. Actively. You know, or he has said what to do or not to do, and we are following. But doing the things that are pleasing in his sight goes beyond do's and don'ts. It's more or less we know what's pleasing to him, whether he explicitly commands it or not, That's what we choose. Now, some of us, you know, we love to enjoy our liberty. I mean, Paul said, look, you know, all things are lawful for me. Well, all things may not be, you know, expedient, but he said all things are lawful. Yeah, people say, well, I can do anything I want. But maybe not. Maybe we need to consider that we are bought with a price and that we are not our own. In other words, God owns you and me, lock, stock, and barrel. Now, people don't like to hear that. In fact, some of the language that was translated in the Bible, you know, where we say that, you know, we are God's own, he actually calls us his slaves, you know. So, God owns us like that. He has purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ, and he owns us. And he has the right, the exclusive right to demand, you know, and make some demands on our life. And he may want of you certain things. And the question is, are we willing to do the will of God in every situation? Well, remember, he that doeth the will of the Lord will abide forever. Now, what is the will of God concerning certain things? Well, there are many things the Bible talks about. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. How you should know how to possess your body unto honor. That's the will of God. Our sanctification. You know, in other words, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's God's will. Now, if we're walking outside that will, that is global will. Wants all of us to be like that, you know. And if we are not walking in that light, well, we may not get the benefits of he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Say, well, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, yeah, that's what God said. Now, so I need to examine myself to see whether I am doing the will of God, you know. Now, there are many other things where the Lord may make demands on our time or our life. You know, Jesus said himself, he said, if you want to be my disciple, then you've got to decide. You know, he said, no man can be my disciple. Can't just say you're going to be my disciple. It's not going to work. You got to determine within yourself that you are ready to deny yourself, ready to take up your cross, then follow me. What does denying yourself mean? Well, that also goes to doing the will of the Father. You know, it may not be the will of the Father for us to be doing certain things that we think we're entitled to do. It may not be the will of the Father, but, you know, do we take time to check to see if this is the will of the Father? I mean, Jesus was consumed with always doing the will of the Father. In fact, he said in multiple places that the Son can do nothing by himself. But what the Father shows him, that's what he does. John chapter 5, verse 19. I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, you know, for what things soever the Father doeth, those are the things the Son will do likewise. Well, is that SOP for us? I mean, that's standard operating procedure, that we only do what we see the Father do, or do we just do our thing? Now, doing the will of God cuts across many aspects of our lives. Many, many aspects. That benefits. The most critical benefit that I want to talk about today is abiding forever. Abiding forever, I mean, that's like, you know, They just live forever. It's like, you know, abiding forever. You know, you will never wither again. He said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God abides forever. The same thing with, you know, he that doeth the will of God, they abide forever. They abide forever. You know, and there are other benefits with that as well. Now, one part of doing the will of God is actively keeping his commandments. And there are some benefits that Jesus talks about. In the book of John, chapter 14, I want to read to you some of the, you know, benefits that Jesus talks about when we actively, remember, 1 John 3:22 says, we receive of him whatever we ask of him because, one, we keep his commandments, that's active obedience. Two, I call that passive obedience. In other words, whether he's point blank commanded it in this situation or not, I know what pleases him. So I do those things that please him. Well, you know, let's see some benefits about that. The first part, which is active obedience, here's what Jesus had to say about that. John chapter 14 and verse 21. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, remember, 1 John 3:22, we ask of him whatever we will and we get it because we keep his commandments. That's the first part. Second part is we do what's pleasing in him, in his sight. Well, the first part, we keep his commandments. Jesus said, well, he that keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me. So people may say, I love you, Lord. But Jesus said, well, you know, we'll see about that. If you keep my commandments, that's the proof that you love me. That's what he's saying. If you don't keep my commandments, you can say, yes, Lord. You can say, Lord, Lord. You can say all these things. If you don't keep my commandments, maybe you don't really love me like you think you do. And Jesus said, if you love me, which means you are keeping my commandments, there are some benefits. Here are some of the benefits that he describes in this verse and also verse 23. He said, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. So somebody asked him, there was one man named Judas, not the other Judas Iscariot, another man. In the next verse, he asked him, he said, well, how come you will manifest yourself to us? Because he said, he that keeps my commandments, he is that loves me. And if you love me, you know, I will manifest myself to you. He said, well, how is it that you manifest yourself to us and not unto the whole world? You know? And Jesus answered that by further explaining. He said, well, what I'm saying to you is if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we come unto him, make our abode with him. That's the manifestation. Now, Father will love him. Are you saying Father doesn't love everybody? What are you talking about? I mean, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So, we see that the word of God already describes the love of God for the whole world. Now, that's the, so to speak, generic love that God has for the whole world. Now, here is a differentiated kind of love. This is the one I want us to think about today. You know, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if a man loves me, my Father will love him. Well, Father already loved him before even he loved Christ. Because, you know, we argue that God so loved the world. If that person is part of the world, then God already loved him. Well, yeah. That's a generic kind of love. But there is a special, differentiated kind of love. You say, well, does God have respect of persons? Well, absolutely. Just said it here. You know, when you love him to the point where keep his commandments, keep his words, he himself is going to love you and come after you make his abode with you. So we start out by seeking the Lord. And, you know, I've been teaching people about this or trying to. We start out by seeking the Lord. You seek the Lord long enough, there is a line that you will cross, and God will start coming after you. When you seek him, you start out by seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Want in your heart to do his will. Well, you do that long enough, he will come after you. Because he said, I will come to him. Now, it's not just you coming to the Lord now. He's coming for you. I will come to you. I will reveal myself to you. I will make my abode with him. Well, you say, well, make our abode with everybody. Maybe so, but this is differentiated. Now, here's something that Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 29. You know, he said, well, he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. I'm never alone. Father is always with me. Why? Because I do always those things that please him. That's like doing his will. The benefit, one of the benefits of doing his will, that the Father is always with you. Jesus is saying it right here. You know, Jesus didn't need to pray that the Father should be with him. The Father was with him because he was doing the Father's will. You don't need to pray that the Father should be with you. All you need to do is pray for the grace to do his will. Hallelujah. If you do his will, he will be with you. He already said it, you know, and he's coming for you. And these are some of the benefits that for the person that does his will, you will get this preferential. That's right. You know, some people might find that hard to believe, but preferential, you know. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, God was telling us in the first couple of chapters that, look, I am the Lord. I created all these things, heaven and earth and everything else. Anywhere, you know, they are mine. I created them. But, you know, this is the man to whom I will look. He that trembles at my word. The Lord says something. This man, no, he's going to stay right there. He that keepeth my words. This man's going to stay right there with him. The Lord said, that's the man I will look to. He said, the Lord looks to everybody. Well, maybe so. But he has a preferential treatment for those that keep his word. You say, well, that's not scriptural. Sure it is. You know, this is the man to whom I put up Isaiah chapter 66 for me so that we all see it. You know, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built for me? Where is the place of my rest? All these things, verse 2, have my hands made. All those things are being. But, see, this man will I look to. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. It's a preferential treatment from God when we take his word seriously. Now, some people say, well, that doesn't really matter. The moment we say that doesn't really matter, you've missed the mark. You know, because John 8, 51 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, this is the same thing as he will abide forever. See, he that doeth the will of God and the word of the Lord abides forever. If the word of the Lord abides in you because you are doing the will of God, then that word of the Lord that abides forever will cause you to also abide forever. That's what it means that you shall never see death. Well, are we talking about just physical death? Well, it is actually possible too. It is possible, you know, not to see physical death. You say, well, you know, Jesus, he was talking to them, he said, you know, the bread that comes from heaven is not the one that Moses gave you. I'm the true bread of life. The man eat of this bread, he will live forever. They said, come on now. I mean, our fathers ate those manna and they are dead. Now you are saying, if a man keep my saying, will he live forever? He told them, you know. And he told them again that, look, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. When he saw he was glad, he said, well, you could not possibly have seen Abraham. Huh? He said, well, I and my father are one. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. And he said such things like this. He made a lot of profound statements. Like, the man keep my saying, he shall never see death. You know, if you come unto me, you take of me the water of life, you will thirst. I mean, you will never thirst again. You would live forever. I mean, John makes these statements like that. But yet, we look around. It doesn't look like the righteous is flourishing. It doesn't look like the righteous is living forever. You know, but what do all these things mean? Look, I can tell you one thing. The word of the Lord abideth forever. Amen. We may not understand it, but it abides forever. That word will never see corruption. Once God has spoken it, that's exactly the way it's going to be. Now, you may never understand it completely on this side, but eventually you understand. Now, at one time Jesus said, well, the man is just sleeping, even though he was dead. You know, so there are many things about that. But I want you to focus today on doing the will of the Father that I may abide forever. You know? So, I mean, how may I abide forever? Well, by doing the will of God. Well, how shall a man ascend into the hill of the Almighty? Well, by, you know, taking heed to the word of the Lord, by having clean hands, a pure heart, all these things. You know, how shall a man live forever? By taking heed according to thy word and doing it. And that's how we live forever. Now, it's more than just saying, I give my life to Christ. That's cheap talk. Give my life to Christ. It is important to say it, but Jesus said, and the word of God says, you know, it's not just saying that. So they say that with their lips. They honor me with their lips, but they have removed their heart far from me. When the Lord makes a demand, and he can do that. Well, are we ready to do his will? But yet we say, yes, Lord. They say, well, I give my life to Christ. What does giving my life to Christ actually mean? Well, it means he owns your life. That's what it means. So for many of us that have said, we give our lives to Christ, but when the Lord makes a demand on our time, we don't yield. Well, maybe we haven't given our life to him then. Or maybe we don't understand what it means. So what it means is yieldedness to do his will. That's what it means. The will of and the commandments of God are not grievous. It's not like God's going to put some heavy burden on you, which he knows you cannot bear, you know, just to make you fail. God doesn't do that. You know, God is faithful. Hallelujah. He will not put upon you more than you are able to bear. He knows that. But when he says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. This is the will of God. I should believe on the Lord. This is the will of God. So we see his global will. And then his personal will for you may be different than the person that's sitting next to you. I want you to look at the person sitting next to you. Look at them. Tell them, show me your fingerprints. Look at her. Can you see those fingerprints? Well, maybe you can't really see them with naked eyes, but I guarantee you, everyone's fingerprints are different than someone else's. Even twins, they're all different. You know, that's exactly how the will of the Lord for your life may be different than the next person's. So we can't look at, you know, you don't know. You can't just look at somebody and just, you know, I mean, just rule them off or judge them prematurely. You know, the Bible says, to his master, he standeth or falleth. Who are thou that judgest another man's servant? You don't know what God's will for him is. You may think you do, but you don't. You know, God may have a will for him that's different from what he has for you or for the generality of the people, and we may not even understand it. Now, according to the word that we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it is important for us to understand the will of God for our lives. You must figure it out. You know, there may be something, and even it's not just our full life from start to finish. It's moment by moment as well. You decompose your life into years, months, weeks, days, moments. You know, all those moments. And in this moment that you are in right now, or sometimes when you face situations or decisions or whatever, what is the will of the Lord in the matter? You know, are we willing to always pay the price to do the will of God? Now, the will of God he wants for you may not always be easy, but it'll be the right thing. In fact, you know, I was surprised to see a caption on my job one day. You know, when they give you a company computer, they also flash some things on the screen. So, give everybody, can only use the company computer, get on their network. Because of certain security measures. So one day I saw flash on the screen, you know, they put out a number of bullets, and the one that caught my eye, first one there said, we do what is right, not what is easy. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I stopped to think about that. It's not a Christian company or any such thing. You know, I said, we do what is right, not what is easy. Well, the will of God for your life may not be, or even in any situation, may not be the easy thing. But it's always the right thing. Hallelujah. And it leads to life and life and life. You know, there are situations that we may face. I'll give you an example where the will of God may be difficult. It's the will of God for you to forgive that person that has hurt you. It's the will of God. Now, it may not be easy, but it's the right thing. And if you neglect it, you don't do it because it's not easy on the flesh, well, you may miss some of the packaged blessings for them that do the will of God. Now, our prayer is that, Lord, should be, give me the grace to understand and to do the will of God, you know. And if that's important to you, then the Lord is going to put you on the list of favorites, because it's important for you to do his will, and he's going to be there with you all the time. Jesus said, because I do what is pleasing to him. So he's always with me. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't want to be, this a very long exhortation today, but I do want to also consider this matter. The matter is as such. This is what I've said. I'm going to summarize it now. You know, doing the will of God carries many benefits, but we got to know what the will of God is. One will of the Lord, which is global, is for us, that all men should come to salvation. Not that they cry. But how will they be saved if nobody tells them? That's where our job comes in. We got to tell them. Now, there are other things that are revealed in the Word of God about his will on the subject matter. Now, if whatever you want to know, if it's important to God, there's an answer in the Bible. If it's not, there's no answer in the Bible, then you don't want to know it. That's the way I've always lived my life. I can't find an answer from, you know, about it in the scriptures, then it's not a question that I need to worry myself about. But there is guidance in the scriptures concerning the will of God. We must understand the will of God. Not only understand it, but then do it. Now, I say to you though, if you propose in your heart to do the will of the Father, always, He will help you. You know, He will help you. That comes from not only just saying, yes, Lord, but actually doing what He asked. The one that said yes of the two sons, I'm going to do it right away, he didn't do it. The one that said, I'm not doing it, he repented and did it. So it's not what we just say, whether yes or no. It's how you carry it out. If you say yes, then do it. Amen. Now, we should not say no to the Lord. We should say yes, but then beyond the yes, we should actually do it. You know, when you say yes, then do it. Praise the Lord. I want us to stand to our feet. And that's our exhortation today. Think about it. It's a little sobering message. You say, well, after all that jubilation and so forth. Yeah. You know, because he that doeth the will of God, he's the one that's going to abide forever. And it is in doing his will that we find his favor. You know, you want the favor of God, and we talk about favor and things like that. Everybody loves that. But it's really in doing his will, you know, and being conscious of his word, trembling at his word. This is the man to whom I will look. This is the one that will get preferential treatment. This is the one that's going to get my favor. He that is of contrite spirit and trembles at my word. The way God said it, do it that way. Praise God. I can't stand here today and tell you all the things God said one way or another. You have the Holy Spirit and you have your personal devotions for that. But you know, today is just to bring awareness to the fact that we are not our own and we cannot just do things anyhow. We must submit ourselves to the Lord and do his will. That is where we get the promises that God has given. Everything about God has principles, and you know, just saying it with our mouth without doing it, doesn't carry the weight. Jesus said it, so I want us to pray today. I pray, and I want you to pray and say, Lord, enable me, give me the grace, Lord, not only to say yes, give me the grace to say yes, and give me the grace to do it. Every time the Holy Spirit comes along and nudges you, we must say yes. And after saying yes, you must do it. Don't just say yes and not do it. You know, that doesn't carry any weight. When we say yes, and we actually do it, you know, that carries weight. And also when you know what pleases the Lord, and you do that as well, that carries even greater weight. Because now the Lord knows where your heart is. He said, it's not just what they say with their lips, but I'm looking at their heart. Some of them, their heart is so far away from me. You know, but God is looking at their heart. Let's lift our hands and pray. Father, we pray, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, grant us the grace, every one of us, not only to say yes, but also to follow through and do the will of the Father. And this is the man to whom I will look, the Lord said. He that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. The benefits, Lord, that we have looked at today of prospering, of flourishing, and of abiding forever, which comes from doing the will of God. May we receive those benefits even as we do your will. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening. That's our exhortation today. I know it's a little bit of sobering, but you know, it will help you to receive the favor of God. Praise the Lord.